Today, we're going to tackle a section here in the Bible in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 12, and it is ask, seek, and knock. Anybody, when you were a kid, used to say ask as ax? I'm going to ask you something. Like, why are you going to ask me, bro? You know, but ask, seek, and knock. You know, in the realm of spirituality, prayer stands as a beacon, guiding humanity through our deepest struggles and our greatest aspirations. It's Andrew Murray that said, a distrustful heart toward God comes naturally for us. A distrustful heart toward God, it comes naturally for us. However, our prayer life has transformative potential because it expands our hearts so that we can receive God's profound gifts. Prayer is that thing that keeps us from becoming so distrustful of God and distrustful of others. Prayer is that thing that moves us along. It transforms us and our relationship with God in ways that we can't even imagine. It's through prayer that we discover the power to ask and to receive. And we learn the truth that regardless of prayer's impact on God, and we all tend to pray prayers, we want to change God's mind. I believe that's possible, but sometimes that's our prayer. I want to pray, I want to change God, I want to move you to do something. But regardless of our prayer's impact on God, our prayers always change us when we pray. Regardless of what God does, and God will do what God will do, amen. But our prayer life, it always changes us. It moves us. It transforms us. We need prayer, obviously, in more ways than we probably even know. What the church probably needs more than anything else is prayer. We need to be evangelistic. We need to learn more, of course. We need to be reading our Bibles more, but we need to be prayerful, amen? Prayer, it's that beacon that guides, it's always guided humanity. And I will tell you that there are people that don't even trust God or believe in God, but they actually believe in prayer. How much more should we? But a few things that maybe kind of affect our prayer lives, so maybe a few questions. These are sort of the maybe top 10 questions that people have when it comes to prayer. And this one is, why do I struggle with prayer so much? Many people wonder why prayer feels difficult or inaccessible to them, especially if they see others engaging in it sort of effortlessly. You ever go out to pray with someone and they talk to God like they're a friend? You're going, I don't know, I'm never going to be there. I bet the disciples felt that way when they watched Jesus pray. They go, we don't even know if we're doing it right, Lord. Teach us to pray, right? Maybe another question is, how can I focus during my prayer? Maybe you're easily distracted. I can't go out for walks because every squirrel, bird, it distracts me, right? You ever start praying, you kind of go, I don't know, I started thinking about something. I'm just wandering around. I've been out here for a half hour. I think I said, Father God, 30 times. Father God, Father God, Father God, you know? What if I don't feel anything when I pray? Sometimes we may question the effectiveness of our prayer life because we just don't experience sort of any emotion or spiritual response. So we wonder if there's something wrong with our approach. How do I know if my prayers are being heard? This is a big one. Doubts, which are common and regular. We have doubts about whether our prayers are even reaching their intended recipient. If anyone is listening, okay, and it causes us to struggle in prayer. Another maybe question we have is, what should I pray for? Sometimes we feel uncertain about what to pray for. I don't know, should I pray for myself? Should I pray about this? Should I pray for people more? What should I do more? So we have all these acronyms sometimes for prayer. ACTS, right? Adore, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, okay? But we may struggle. And here's a big one. How do I deal with unanswered prayers? When our prayers seemingly go unanswered, or the outcomes don't align with expectations, we sometimes feel a little bit of disillusioned, right? And we question even the purpose of prayer. Is this even necessary? How often should I pray? We struggle to feel not only inadequate about prayer or guilty about prayer, but do I pray enough? Am I praying enough? Sometimes we feel guilty about our prayer life. How can I overcome my doubt in my prayer life? Doubt undermines our confidence in prayer. And people, sometimes we seek strategies for managing and overcoming our doubts. Okay, we come up with plans and strategies. I'm going to doubt less. And then here's a big one. Can prayer really make a difference in my life? I'm skeptical. Like I said, you know, Murray's right. Doubt comes easy for us. It's actually the way we protect ourselves. We're built that way. We doubt because it's how we protect, right? You know, we've kind of sometimes feel a little bit like there's a lion, there's something around every corner. And it depends on what neighborhood you live in the city. You may actually feel like, hey, I got to watch my back, man, no matter where I go. But we're actually built to be a little bit skeptical. Is God really going to do that? And it's kind of a little bit how we defend ourselves and we protect ourselves. Because we put my heart out there, fool me once, right? We have all these great sayings about that protect our hearts. Can prayer really make a difference in my life? And then how do I reconnect with prayer? Man, bro, I haven't been praying very much. I'm glad we're talking about this because my prayer life really, I know it's not what it should be. And I haven't connected with God. And sometimes going before God, I feel guilty like, God, I haven't been out here in a long time. And I only pray when I eat. And it's kind of a rote prayer. So maybe we feel that. Well, I don't know if we're going to answer all of these questions today, okay? But we certainly, hopefully, will begin to answer a few of them. When Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, you can be sure that he believes that prayer is in continual view of all disciples. When he says, ask, seek, knock, the people that he's talking to, prayer was not a foreign thing to them at all. Let's get into it. Let's pray first. Father, we love you so much. And we come to you right now in prayer, really understanding that there is obviously so much more for us to learn about you. But there's so much more for us to learn about prayer. And there's so much more you want to reveal to us, of course, God. But Father, we just appreciate that you've given us something so basic. Father, even your word written on a fourth grade level, it is said, so that we can very easily understand. And Father, yet God, you've also given us this very basic thing that God, it doesn't matter who we are in life, if we can mouth words and we've all sat there with a two-year-old and had them repeat after us a prayer. God, you give us this incredible, powerful, and transformative gift, which is prayer. I pray that we embrace it, that we don't take it for granted, that we love it, that we will share it with others. I pray even this month, God, as we pray for our neighbors and coworkers and random people we meet, Father, to maybe the clerk at the local grocery store, Father, or whoever we're coming into contact. Maybe it's a vendor, God, that we're dealing with at work, God. It really doesn't matter, but God, help us to be prayerful for people. And God, help us even now, God, as we study this section here out, Father, that God, may it draw us near to you and give us greater understanding. But more than anything, God, simplify it for us, God, in a way that we can kind of walk out of here, Father, with some practicals prayerfully, God, but also walk out of here really inspired to be more prayerful. But we thank you that you are the one that Jesus tells us to ask, seek, and knock, and that you are the one that is always listening attentively to us, and help us to overcome our unbelief and overcome our doubts. And as always, God, comfort those that need comforting this morning, and God, make those uncomfortable among us, God, all of us that need to be made uncomfortable. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As I said, Jesus, as he's talking about this idea of ask, seek, and knock, this is not a foreign concept to the people that he's talking to. In other words, Jesus expects that we are praying people. Now, we know that the early disciples would have followed the Jewish tradition of praying three times a day. In fact, David in Psalm 119, 160 through 164, he simply says, David says, I praise God seven times per day. Wow. And then he went on to say, I prayed evening, morning, and noon. Daniel said the same thing. And so it was very much part of Jewish tradition to pray three times a day. You see in the book of Acts that the disciples, it says that just sort of in passing, you know, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at the time of prayer, they're on their way to the temple to pray. It was common that disciples prayed. It was common that Jews prayed. And so when Jesus says this, ask, seek, knock, I think it really resonated with the group that, oh, he's talking about prayer. Prayer would not be strange to early believers. Three times per day. Talk about legalistic, right? But it was ingrained into their culture, just like it is for you to have a cup of coffee in the morning, or to take a noon lunch break, or to get off at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Some of you are going, I wish that was the case, bro. But you know what I'm saying, right? 9 to 5, or even to just check your social media for the latest news. It was routine. It was part of their daily lives. It would not have been foreign at all for them. And so he says, ask, seek, and knock. Let's read it here, shall we? Oh. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, wow, you talk about injecting some convicting stuff into your sermon. You know? Like Jesus just goes along smoothly, and I just go, though you are evil, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophet. We're going to talk about these three sections here. We're going to first talk about ask, seek, and knock. You know, there's something very beautiful about these first couple of verses. You can go to the next slide. Where it says, ask. Prayer is how we communicate our needs and desires to God. Now, God is sort of all-knowing, right? So he knows what we need, whether we ask him or not. But prayer is the means that God himself has chosen for us to be in relationship with him. That's what he's chosen. And of course, asking doesn't mean that we will always get what we want. We'll come back to that a little later. But however, the more we are in communion and abiding with God, the more we know what to ask for and how to ask in accordance with his will. We'll come back to that in a bit. But asking, though, requires that we sort of consider, what are we asking for and how are we asking for it? You ever think about that? Like, when you need to ask for something, don't you kind of consider? Even children, they know, they figure out after a while, okay, I need to get something from mom and dad. Now, I can approach them one or two ways. Last time I approached them this way, they said no. So they just sort of hone how they need to come to you and ask for things. Can I get an amen, children? Can I get an amen? You all understand the power of manipulation. No, I'm just kidding. But have you considered how you approach God? Not only what you ask for, but how you ask for it. I believe asking requires that we think about, how am I going to go before God and ask him? At least sometimes. I know there's times when you're just sort of in a place of desperation. You go, I do not ask God. I just need to come to you. I get it, right? But every prayer time is not a moment of desperation. I hope not. If it is, praise God. Amen. But how much time do we actually give to? So how do I want to ask God for this? How do I want to approach him? And then what is it that I should be asking for? Considering what are the things that I need to be asking God about? Hey, it's beautiful. And I know that we just feel like God will just take me how I am. As long as I'm doing it, it's okay. And I do believe that's true. But boy, doesn't he at least deserve us taking some time to sit down and go, okay, how am I going to approach the Almighty and ask him? And what even should I be asking for? Sometimes that may even require even having a conversation with another human. Hey, what are things, I love it when people go, hey, what do you want me to pray for? I love that. But when's the last time you ever asked somebody, what are the things you think I should be praying for right now? Hey, it's a beautiful thing to ask people, what can I be praying for you about? I love it. I think it's amazing. It's beautiful. It sometimes catches me off guard as a preacher. Hey, Brooke, what can I be praying for? Oh, amen. Thank you. I feel like I should be praying for you, but thank you for praying for me. Amen. But boy, sometimes it's helpful to even know what should I be asking. We all remember times in our lives, though, when we were zealous about asking. You remember that? When you got excited about asking. Where you ask with eager anticipation and great expectations. You remember those times when your prayer life or whatever it was in life, when you just had a childlike heart about going to God about this thing? You just had this just sort of like, oh, I can't wait to ask God for this and to see it come to fruition. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. But it's interesting as we get older in life. We quit asking. Quit asking for direction. Quit asking for advice. Quit asking for understanding. Sometimes the older we get, the more we feel like we don't need to ask for anything. Because I got it all. I got this. In fact, it can sometimes feel kind of like silly. At this stage of my life, I should have this all down. Come on, you know, I don't need that anymore. Be embarrassed to ask for that, right? I should have that, right? And that's obviously a trick of the evil one, right? You know, tell you that you should all be perfect by now. I'm in this stage of my life. I should be perfect. Well, guess what? We're not. We're not. We still need to be asking. But we also need to seek. After we've asked, we need to go about looking for the answer, looking for the blessing, looking for that answered prayer. Sometimes when we're seeking, though, we need help seeking. Sometimes we need help looking deeper and wider and longer. Right? You ever looking for your keys or something like that, and you just kind of, I give up. I'm just not going to go. You know what I mean? You know, you like give up on it. I'll just take another car or something like that, you know. If you have another car, single guys go, what? You know. But when you're looking for something important, after you look for a while and you've grown a bit frustrated, you finally go to your roommate or your spouse or your kids and go, listen, has anybody seen my keys? And they always ask you that one question that you hate, where did you leave them last? If I knew that, I'd have them. We all do it. We can't help it. Where did you leave them last? Or you will go to find my family member on your phone. You can just ask Siri, but you could just sit around frustrated because you haven't found what you're seeking. But if you get up and you sweep the house, and you'd be surprised what you might find. And I think this is a beautiful thing about prayer, because when you're really seeking God in your prayers, Then you get up and you look, and it's amazing when you're looking because you might not find that thing that you thought you really needed or was looking for. But you maybe find something else, and you may go, did you find it? No, but guess what I found? I've been looking for this for years, you know what I mean? I didn't even know this was still in the house. Honey, I can't believe you kept this all this time. I wasn't looking for this. I was looking for something else, but look what I found. I think that's how God is, amen? You go, I want this. I'm looking for this. I need this. God goes, but just kind of keep looking, keep seeking, keep looking, and get some help, and you might be amazed at what you find. But in knocking as well, you know, this morning, this past Friday, we were working on this passage as a staff, and we do this pretty much every Friday when it comes to these passages that we're preaching. Gwen Moulden said this about prayer. She said that knocking can be so vulnerable because you really don't always know what's on the other side of the door. You know, knocking can be very vulnerable. I'm going to share something with you that you may not know. I have a little bit of a low-key kind of fear of dogs. It's kind of low-key, okay? So I often think about hurting dogs because I feel like they're going to attack me. And so if I come to your house and your dog jumps on me, I just want you to know for the 4 seconds, I might think about kicking it. You know what I mean? But I won't kick it. Okay. But when I knock on a door and a dog starts barking, my heart starts pumping. I'm going, if they open that door and that dog runs out and jumps on me, I've thought about strangling dogs. I thought about all kinds of things. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to protect myself. When you're fearful, you think about crazy things. You know what I'm saying? It's a low-key fear, okay? And so if I come to your house and I knock on the door, and I've had this happen, like I'll be out walking, and I am very acutely aware who people who give their dog too much leash. The dog, they got the leash, the dog's way over there, and they're kind of, or people that go to the park and they let the dog run around. I'm watching. And they do this thing because the dog starts running, they go, yeah, whatever the dog's name is, you know, I can't even think of a dog name, okay? Fido! Tell how old I am, Fido. Fido! 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 I'm like, put it on a leash, you know? I'm sorry, he never does this. Whatever. You hear people say, sorry, he never does this. I don't know what got into him. Yeah, I know what's about to get into him. You know what I'm saying? I'm just telling you, it's a low-key fear I have. You know what I'm saying? And you probably didn't know that. I have never kicked a dog. Well, I shouldn't say that. When I was young, I'm sure I've kicked a dog. Oh, man. Since I've been a Christian, I've never kicked a dog. 33 years. I've not kicked a dog, amen? I've not killed anybody, and I've not kicked a dog. Can I get an amen? Cats are... Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But... Why am I on that topic? I don't really know. But, oh, there's a little bit of fear what might be on the other side of the door. You don't know if you're going to face a friendly face or if you're going to have some dog that jumps out at you that's really happy. Okay? You don't really know. But knocking is a very vulnerable thing. But listen, let me ask you this. How many of us, when we think about, let's go to the next slide. When we think about ask, seek, knock, that what we're really thinking about is receiving and finding and open doors. See, sometimes this is the way we approach our prayer life. We're really not thinking about the ask, seek, knock. What we really are thinking about is the receiving part, the finding part, and the God opening doors part. Come on, God, open some doors for me. Come on, God, believe it and receive it. You know what I mean? I can't wait to find what I'm looking for. This is maybe really sometimes our overall posture in our relationship with God, right? So the ask, and this really takes a whole lot less faith, doesn't it? Receiving, finding, open doors. But the asking and the seeking and the knocking, that takes, in fact, but that's the command. This is a blessing, of course. But what God commands us to do. So here's the way this is actually written in the Greek. Those that receive have been asking. Those that find have been seeking. And open doors are for those that have been knocking. This is actually the way it reads. And so, but we often, sometimes, because we're a little entitled, read it a little bit backwards. It doesn't take much faith to receive blessings, to find joy, and to walk through the doors of opportunities of life. Doesn't often take near as much faith. But you see, when we read this passage, we got to understand that we've got to always be asking, because we're always receiving. We've got to always be seeking, because we're always finding. And we've got to always be knocking, because God is always opening doors, which is what I believe this next section is about. Verse 9 through 11. It's sort of a gentle reminder of who God is and who we are. God says, if your children ask you for bread, give them a stone. If they're for a fish, will you give them a snake? Notice he doesn't say he's going to give them the bread or fish, though. He doesn't say he's going to give them the bread or fish. He said, but if they ask for bread, will you give them a stone? If they ask for fish, will you give them a snake? Because you don't always get what you want. And in the words of those 1960 poets, you get what you need. It's the Rolling Stones, Rolling Stones, Rolling Stones, yeah. You can't always get what you want. Jesus says, don't forget who you serve. He knows what you're asking for. And he says, ask anyway. He knows what you seek. He says, seek anyway. He knows what doors must be open for us. And he says, knock anyway. He says that I am God. And I not only give you good gifts. I'm the God that always does good. Because God is good all the time, right? And all the time? Always, all the time. He says, I will give good gifts to those who ask. Exclamation point. I will always. But if you look at this sex passage, parallel verse in Luke, which is the next slide there. Look what it says. It says, if then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, what could be better than that? The Holy Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. Oh, it's so good. Who doesn't want peace? Peace in my life, peace in my family, peace around me. Who doesn't want love? Who doesn't want joy? Who doesn't want faithfulness? Who in here doesn't want self-control? God says, I will give you good gifts. You go, but God, I just want a boyfriend. Okay, anyway. Man, just get a girlfriend. Yeah, that's so nice. So as I was saying, I will give you good things, you know. What do you want a boyfriend for? What do you want a girlfriend for? Because you're good. Really? Is it really good? Remember Dan Rice used to say, if we knew the damage that middle school and high school relationships did to our kids, we would we would start a campaign, say no to crack, say no to opposite sex relationships, you know what I mean? Or same-sex relationships. We'd say no to it all, okay? It damages you in so many ways. It's not cute. It's not fun. It's not. But God says, I will give you good, but don't you want the Holy Spirit instead? What are we actually asking for? What are we actually looking for? In our prayers, are we looking for love and joy and peace? And I think Jesus says, I know what you need. And he says, ask me for those things and you will receive them. But he wraps up here in verse 12. Next slide. When he says, be still and know that I am God. Next slide. So in everything, do to others what you have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I'm wrapping up here. Of course, this is the golden rule. And I don't know about you, but this is probably one of the most familiar passages or recognizable quotes from the Bible. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. And it is found at first glance at the most awkward place in the Bible. Jesus is talking about prayer. He's talking about prayer, ask, seek, knock. And in the end, he goes, so do unto others as you do. You go, what does that have to do with prayer? I think it has everything to do with prayer. It occurred to me this past week that God placed this passage exactly in the right place. It occurred to me that God knows what he's doing. Anyway, I need that revelation every week, amen? But I think James, the brother of Jesus, was on to something here in James 4. He said, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? It says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You're in conflict. You do not have because you do not what? Ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with what? Wrong motives. And here's a kicker. That what you get, you may spend on what? Yourself. Your pleasures. Whatever you're asking for, who's it really for? The things we are asking for, the things we're going to God about, who's it really for? I mean, even when you pray for your kids, who's it really for? Is it really for your kids? Or is it really for you? What are the things I ask for? Who are they really for in life? And I think Jesus says, you know, you need to go to the next verse. Love the Lord your God. I love this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. Heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command, but it said the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And look what he says. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. But it's the same thing he said in Matthew. All the law and the prophet hang on doing to others what you would have them do to you. Here's what I think Jesus is saying. Next slide. Next slide. So in everything, including prayers, do for others what you would have them do for you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Our prayers, they need to be for others. This sums up the law and the prophet. Our prayers should be about God Almighty, of course. And I don't think God has a problem at all with us asking for the things we want. But do for others what you would have them do for you. Those prayers that you're praying for yourself, pray for others. Give to others the gifts you get, the things you get. You should want those things for others just as much as you want them for you. Is that not what it means to do for others what you have them do for you? Love God but love others. I think this sums up the law and the prophets. This sums up everything that they were trying to get across. And I think this sums it up for us. And so we have a great opportunity this month to think about others and to pray for others. Not enough to pray for them. What is it that you need? We're acutely aware of that, right? I am, maybe too acutely, maybe not always. God knows, I know, but boy, you know. And I tell you what, it will be powerful what you will realize about yourself by praying for others. I'll wrap up here. In this realm of spirituality, prayer stands as the beacon guiding humanity through all of our deepest struggles, but also our greatest aspirations. We need to remember that our hearts are naturally distrustful toward God, which is why God gave us prayer. He gave us this transformative potential. That prayer expands our hearts so that we can receive all of God's profound gifts. And sometimes we don't know what they might be. And boy, I tell you what, they're Holy Spirit driven. All of them, they're all around love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Those are the things that God wants and desires for us so deeply. Go ahead and ask for your boyfriend or girlfriend. Go ahead and ask for a new job. Go ahead and ask for all those things. But I'm telling you, sometimes those things, they may not bring you peace or joy. So ask for the things that God wants for you. Holy Spirit driven things. It's through prayer that we discover the power of ask and receive. And we learn the truth, regardless of the impact of prayer on God, regardless of how it impacts God, prayer always changes us when we pray. At this time, Alex is going to come up and lead us in communion.